1 Samuel 29, starting at verse 1. And just remembering before we start that last week we were dealing with Saul and the medium of Endor, but chapter 28, verses 1 and 2 began with a problem. I'll read there for starters, just the first two verses of chapter 28. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And David said to Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." And then we switched back to Saul. We had this dilemma, this problem just sitting there. And this morning we look at that in chapter 29, starting at verse 1. Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. As the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on in the rear with Achish, the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me now for days and years? And since he deserted to me, I have found no fault in him to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David, of whom they sing to one another in dances, 'Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" Then Achish called David and said to him, "As the Lord lives, you have been honest. And to me it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. For I have found nothing wrong in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not approve of you. So go back now, and go peaceably, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." And David said to Achish, "But what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day I entered into your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered David and said, "I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who came with you, and start early in the morning, and depart as soon as you have light." So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. But the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So far, God's word. Keep your Bibles open there as we spend some time in this passage this morning. But first of all, let's come together in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God, almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this word that you have chosen for us to hear this morning. Lord, we pray that you may open our hearts and minds to a reminder again of the way that you work, of the wonderful ways that you continue to work in our lives and in our circumstances right here and now. Renew again this morning our trust in you. Give us a trust in you if we are lacking in that. Open our hearts to your word. Open our hearts to the tremendous, wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said together, Amen. Well, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person who wants to know what is going to happen? Do you like to have everything mapped out in your life? If you go on a journey, you have every single step, every single stop, every single thing planned out. You make lists of what you're going to need to take and lists of where everything is? Are you the kind of person who likes to be surprised? Who likes surprises? Who likes to just go out and see what happens? And if someone surprises you, you love it. The bigger, the better. The more surprising the surprise, the better it is for you. Well, here in 1 Samuel 29 this morning, we see that God is the master of surprises. Now, it's very easy to read this chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel 29, especially given what's been happening over the last couple of chapters, and see it as a little bit ho-hum. Yeah, David delivered once again. Wow, what a surprise. We knew that was going to happen. But there's more to the story than simply meets the eye. There's humor here. There's surprise. And this morning, as we look at it, the author who worked through the Holy, who was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, wants us to see how God is working in a particular way in this passage. And as we're looking at this passage, what we should be asking ourselves is, what is God actually doing here? What is God doing here? Well, this morning we're going to see, brothers and sisters, as we look at this passage, we're going to see that we can trust in God's mysterious workings. We can trust in God's mysterious workings as we see how God works. The first thing we're going to see this morning is that God works quietly. God works quietly. There's a saying, behind every good man is a greater woman. The idea here that someone is working in the front. So you see someone, you see them doing good work, you see them saying good things. But so often there's someone working in the background, someone who's helping, or some people that are helping to make it all possible. That's certainly the case in my own life. As my wife is the person who's behind me, helping me, supporting me, keeping me in check, encouraging me. Our Prime Minister doesn't just make the decisions that she makes on her own. No, she has a whole team of advisors, of people working away in the background, writing her speeches for her, presenting her with all of the evidence, and she makes those decisions together with a whole lot of people. But here in our passage, we see one person working in the background. And that person working in the background, and it'll come as no surprise to you if you've been following along in 1 Samuel, is God. But God barely gets a mention here in this passage. In fact, the only mention he gets is from Achish. Verse 6, then Achish called David and said to him, as the Lord lives. Verse 9, Achish answered David and said, I know that you're as blameless in my sight as an angel, or in some translations it's translated as a messenger of God. God barely gets a mention, but you hear God is working in the background. He's working in circumstances, moving people around. He's working all things according to his will in the background. Proverbs 21 verse 1 reminds us of that. Proverbs 21. In Proverbs 21 verse 1 we read this. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. God usually works in the background. Yes, sometimes God grabs us by the scruff of the neck. He shakes us and gets our attention, but normally he's quietly working away in the background. He's not the kind of person that shouts something out from the treetops, that puts a banner with a message behind an aeroplane. He normally simply quietly works away. How has God worked in your life? Sometimes you can look back. You look back and you can see that there are certain things that have happened, certain people that have come into your life, the certain ways that things have played out, that it can only be God. It can only be God working to make it happen. At the time, you're totally unaware of what's going on, but later on you'll see it. We can see it in our own lives as we reflect on what's brought us here to Rangiora as a family. About the ways that God has worked 10 plus years ago, working things around, moving things around, quietly in the background to bring us as a family to be here. Part of our church here on Rangiora. How about you? Can you look back in your life and see ways that God has worked quietly, plugged away at your life? What about the last 2 months? How has God been at work in your life? I guarantee He has been. It's a good question for you to ask yourself. What has God been doing? What is He wanting you to learn? A good question to ask as life ramps up again, as life quickly gets very busy. Because whether we see it or not, God is working. As we were reminded in Bible study on Wednesday night, God promises in Philippians 1 verse 6, that He who began a good work in us will bring it through to fruition. The Holy Spirit brings that work as we work out our salvation with trembling, as Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 2. God is at work. How does that help us? Well, it reassures us that no matter what we face, God is still there. He is still working with us. Yes, usually He's working in quiet ways. But we can know and we can have the sure hope that He works all things, good and bad, for the benefit of His people. Do you have that security this morning? Can you say that God is working for you and in you? I hope you can this morning. God works quietly. It's not always the way He works, but usually the way He works in our lives. But He also works by surprise. And that brings us to our second point this morning. God works by surprise. There's another saying that you may have heard. You couldn't make this up. Well, that's a saying we could apply to our passage. You couldn't make this stuff up. We've seen the dilemma that David was facing. All the Philistines called and gathered to fight David's countrymen in Israel. The author teases us a little bit in chapter 28. But in chapter 29, we get the resolution. What's the resolution going to be? Is David going to finally show his true colours? And tell the king, well, no, I can't fight against my countrymen. I've been leading you astray all this time. Or was David going to use this as his masterstroke? Use it to attack the Philistines. To slaughter them. That's what the Philistine lords were thinking was going to happen. All of the troops are marching by, all their leaders, the lords of the Philistines in verse 2 of chapter 29. And as they're coming through, here comes Achish and his men. And with Achish is David. And the commanders of the army take a second look. Who's that? What's he doing there? They ask the question of Achish. What are these Hebrews doing here? Now, this name Hebrews is a name that we're used to. It's a book of the Bible, boys and girls. But in those days, it's highly likely that this name used by the Philistines was the kind of name that if you called someone this, your mum or dad would tell you off. It's one of those names that your teacher or your mum and dad say, you're not allowed to use. It's not a good way to describe other people. But here, as the Philistines ask the question, we get our first surprise in the story. Who's David's biggest advocate? It's Achish. It's Achish who goes into bat for David. Achish who has the wool totally pulled over his eyes, as we read about in chapter 27. How Achish thought that all this time that David had been killing his countrymen, he had been deceiving Achish. Achish puts up a case for David, but the commanders aren't convinced. They say, send that man back, verse 4. They ask the question, what would be the best way for David to get back in favor with his old master? It would literally be to bring our heads to Saul. The Philistine lords had been to Philistine battle class. They had heard the song that was sung of David. And here's irony and surprise here as well. This song, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul hated that song. He used it as justification for being jealous of David. But here the Philistines see it as a way of saying, well, David and Saul, they're in tight with each other. They go out to battle together. And the question of going into battle with David and his men and the solution that the commanders suggest is a sensible one. Imagine going into battle all the while having to look over your shoulder just to make sure that David and his men were behaving themselves. And there's a track record here too. When Jonathan attacked the men, the Philistines, way back in Samuel. What happened after Jonathan started getting the victory? A whole lot of Israelites who were fighting for the Philistines turned against the Philistines. So the Philistine lords were right to be anxious. But Achish loses the argument. And so David gets sent home. He is saved. A surprise outcome that the original readers wouldn't have guessed happened. I like the title that an author calls this chapter. He entitles this chapter here in my Bible. It says, The Philistines Reject David. But he entitles this chapter, Salvation by the Philistines. Here's God working by surprise. A way that David wouldn't have seen coming, that David wouldn't have expected. And God continues to surprise us today. Twenty years ago, we wouldn't have said, we wouldn't have expected what's happening today. 2 months ago, well, 3 months ago now, isn't it? Time flies. 3 months ago, we wouldn't have expected virtually the entire world to shut down. How many weeks has it been since we haven't been able to gather together as God's people? God works in surprising ways. Yes, God is working. That's what we believe as Christians. That God in his providence allows these things to happen. He works these things for his glory, our sanctification, ways that we wouldn't expect. Hopefully you're already seeing the ways that God has worked in this time that we have unexpected, that we haven't expected. God works in bad ways, but also in good ways. And you may have seen this time of lockdown as a positive. I hope you've seen it as a positive. But there are other ways in life that God surprises us. Doors closed in front of us. We have no idea what's going to happen. And suddenly, surprisingly, God opens up a whole new way that we just didn't see coming. And that's classic God. We can be encouraged this morning that God is always at work. That he works in ways that we don't understand, but he is always working. Another good thing for you to discuss this morning together as a family: how has God surprised you in your life? How is God continuing to surprise you? God works quietly. He works by surprise. But he also works despite our failings. And that's our third and final point this morning. God works despite our failings. David comes out of the story smelling like roses. He gets out of the battle scot-free. He gets out of the battle more buddy-buddy with Achish. And in fact, Achish is apologizing to David in verses 6 and following. I found nothing wrong in you this day, from your coming to me, from the day of your coming to me to this day. You are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. If we're involved in the story, and the Israelites who are first reading this story would have felt it more than we do today, that they would have felt the tension sitting there in chapter 28, verses 1 to 2. They would have let out a sigh of relief as they see how God worked in the background, and God worked by surprise here in David's life. But then when they came to verse 8, there would have been a slap on the cheek. David opens his mouth. And David said to Achish, verse 8, "But what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day I entered into your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" David, what are you thinking? Keep your mouth closed. Take the win and go. But no, David pushes his case. Why? What's he doing here? Well, our text doesn't really tell us. Was he trying to get more glory for himself? Was he cleverly, cunningly reading the situation and trying to get more advantage for himself? Our text doesn't actually tell us. But what we do need to remember is that David got himself in this mess. He had removed himself from the land of Israel. He felt that one day his luck was going to run out, that eventually Saul was going to catch up with him, and he didn't trust fully in God and God's wonderful track record in his life. He'd lived a life of deception, pulling the wool over Achish's eyes, which meant that he got himself into the situation where he was potentially going to have to go and fight against his countrymen. But while David got himself into this mess, God got him out. Despite David's failings, despite his failure to trust him, despite his lies, despite him taking the wrong actions. And that is classic God. That is classic for the way that God works. We see this firstly and foremost in Jesus Christ, who despite our failings, despite our rejection of God, God doesn't reject us. He remains patient with us. He sent his son to die for us. His son who was totally innocent, who didn't deserve to die, but yet did so on our behalf. God, who shows his grace to us who believe in Jesus Christ. God, who rescues us while we were still sinners, while we were still God haters. God, who gives us what we don't deserve. God, who rescues us, who pulls us out of the pit despite our sin. God, who gives us our salvation. But it's not only in salvation. God also is at work with us despite our failings, despite our failures in present life today. Now we have to be a little bit careful here. We can't look at this passage and say, well, whenever I get in trouble in life, just as David did here, I can be sure that I don't need to worry because God's going to rescue me. Now, our passage doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Sometimes God in his plan and his mysterious workings allows us to suffer because of the mess we got ourselves into. Now, that's not an explanation for all of suffering, but sometimes God allows us to continue and to face the consequences of our action. That's part of his helping us to grow. And we need to be careful to say, well, I'm going to go out and sin boldly because that means that God is going to save me. And in fact, it's an opportunity for God to show his grace even more when I sin even more. No, that's not the point of the text. And David in his life certainly faced many consequences because of his failings. He's going to see some of those consequences even in the next chapter, in chapter 30. But the point here of our passage, the point here is that God's mercy goes beyond our failings. Yes, there are consequences to the wrong things, to the decisions, the bad decisions we make in our life. But the thing that we can hang on to, the truth that we can cling to, is that God's mercy has no limits. God's mercy goes beyond our sins, beyond our failures. And no matter what we do, we know that God will remain with us if we are his. As he promises in his word in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, second half of verse 5 of Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now that's only if the Lord is our helper. But if the Lord is our helper, we can know that God will continue to work in our lives, work with us, be with us, despite our mistakes, despite our sin, despite our failures. That's what we see worked out in David's life. As yes, he's going to continue to fail. But taking a step back, seeing God's working as well, looking at the bigger, slightly bigger picture of 1 Samuel 28 and 29, and the contrast between Saul and David. What's the difference? Well, we see that Saul went at night to the medium in 1 Samuel 28. He leaves at night having no hope at all. But David leaves having been saved from a difficult situation. He leaves in the morning. He leaves in light because God is with his servant. Despite his failings. So how do we respond this morning? How do we respond to God's mysterious workings? As we were reminded this morning that God works quietly. He is always there in the background. as we're reminded that God works by surprise in ways that we don't see coming. As we see that God works despite our failings. Well, the first thing we do is respond in praise. We give him praise and glory because he is in control, because he is working, because he does know what is best for us. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Or are you simply taking his work for granted? Our encouragement this morning, as we look at this passage, is to be reminded what God does for his people and be encouraged by that and praise him for that. Do you praise him for his mysterious workings in your life? Does it give you reassurance this morning that God is there, you can trust him? Are you placing your hope and trust in him? And then finally, how is God working in your life? That's the question that's come up a number of times as we've looked at this passage this morning. That's the question that I encourage you as an individual or as a family to go away and think about and spend some time reflecting on today or this week. How is God working in your life? What is he wanting you to learn? What have you learned during this time of lockdown? What are you continuing to learn? What is God doing in your life? Now, sometimes you may not find the answer to that question for years to come. But often you will see. You will be able to reflect, and others will be able to help you see. Look and see what God has done and is doing. Let's give thanks to him now for his mysterious workings, his good workings in our life, for his work in our life despite our failings. Please pray with me. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do bring you praise this morning as we're reminded in the story that you work in ways that we just don't see coming. We thank you and praise you that you are always, always at work in the background. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy extended to us, despite the fact that we were sinners, despite the fact that we were failures, despite the fact that we rejected you. We praise you for your mysterious working through Jesus Christ, bringing us salvation. We praise you for your continued work in our life. Help us, Lord, to spend some time reflecting on who you are and what you are doing in our lives. To think about the lessons that you would have us know. But Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, we simply praise you and give you thanks for who you are. We pray this, praying for your name to be glorified. And we pray this in the only name that saves us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said together, Amen. Well, thank you once again for joining us this morning. We gather again as God's people this afternoon. So please join us just at 4:30 as we spend some time looking at the Lord's Supper and what the feast that we come to shows us. Thank you to those. I've had a number of prayer requests been sent to me, and you've seen some of those during the week. We will cover some of those this afternoon, but please, if you have other things that you'd like us to pray for as a church family, email those to me this afternoon before the service, and we'll include those in. But go out now and hear God's blessing to you this morning. It is my prayer this morning for you, congregation, that God will bless you, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said together, Amen. May God bless you this afternoon, and we hope to see you again in a few hours.